state is Brahman because he is part and parcel of the Supreme Brahman. Chapter 25, text 36. But simply because of his forgetfulness of his real nature, as the eternal servitor of the Lord, he is overwhelmed and captivated by Maya. His forgetfulness of his real constitutional position is Maya. Otherwise, he is eternally Brahman. When one is trained to become conscious of his position, he understands that he is the servitor of the Lord. Brahman refers to a state of self-realization. Even the third-class devotee, who is not advanced in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, but simply offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees the Lord in the temple, and brings forth flowers and fruits to offer to the deity. The deities of Radha and Krishna, Lakshmi and Narayana, and Ram and Sita are very attractive to devotees, so much so that when they see the statue decorated in the temple of the Lord, they become fully absorbed in thought of the Lord. That is the state of liberation. In other words, it is confirmed herein that even a third-class devotee is in the transcendental position. Above, those who are trying for liberation by speculation or by other methods. Even great impersonalists like Shukadeva Goswami and the four Kumaras were attracted by the beauty of the deities in the temple, by the decorations and the aroma of tulsi offered to the Lord, and they became devotees. Even though they were in the liberated state, instead of remaining impersonalists, they were attracted by the beauty of the Lord and became devotees. Here the word vilasa is very important. Vilasa refers to the activities or pastimes of the Lord. It is a prescribed duty in temple worship that not only one should visit the temple to see the deity nicely decorated, but at the same time he should hear the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or some similar literature, which is regularly recited in the temple. It is the system in Vrindavan that in every temple there is recitation of the Shastras. The system has broken down somewhat. Even third-class devotees who have no literary knowledge or no time to read Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita get the opportunity to hear about the pastimes of the Lord. In this way, their minds may always remain absorbed in the thought of the Lord, his form, his activities, and his transcendental nature. This state of Krishna consciousness is a liberated state. Lord Chaitanya therefore recommended five important processes in the discharge of devotional service. 1. To chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. 2. To associate with devotees and serve them as far as possible. 3. To hear Srimad Bhagavatam. 4. To see the decorated temple and the deity, and if possible, 5. To live in a place like Vrindavan or Mathura. These 5 items alone can help a devotee achieve the highest perfectional stage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita and here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The third-class devotees can also imperceptibly achieve liberation as accepted in all Vedic literatures. Imperceptibly, you may not see the movement like a snail seems to be, a slug seems to just be stuck on the ground, not going anywhere. But you come back an hour later and he's on the other side of the room. You don't have the time to watch him crawl across the floor, but he does it slowly. He does make progress. So like that, we may be sluggish in our devotional enthusiasm, but we're making, if we're not committing aparadhas, then we're doing, following the process that has been described, we're making progress. It may be slow, it may not be so fast. And even the neophyte, the person who didn't, even he didn't do devotional service in his previous life, so therefore he's actually starting from the beginning. Even he can approach the supreme destination in the same lifetime. Mamhi Parthavyapashritya, Krishna says. Mamhi Parthavyapashritya, yepi siu, papa yonayaha, striyo vaishyas tata shudras, tepi yanti paramgatim. Anybody, any human being, if he or she takes shelter of me, be he or she male, female, high class, low class, it doesn't matter. Even the lower class people can reach the supreme perfection of life and can be as good as anybody else if they take shelter of Krishna. Material achievements are of no account. It doesn't matter what you were in your previous life. You were Brahman, you were Mlecha, it doesn't matter. You were big adhikari, working in an air-conditioned office, or you were a tailor-wala, it doesn't matter. No. Brahman, Shudra, it doesn't matter. If you give your life to Krishna, then you're better, as good as anybody else, or better. So, it's not that deity worship is only for the third class devotees. It's not only for neophytes. It's a special facility for neophytes who otherwise have a hard time to come into personal contact with Krishna. Especially if their ears are stopped up and they can't hear properly. They can't hear the message of Krishna. Tavat karmani kurvita nani vidyeti yavata makkata shravanada va yavam shravana jayate. As long as you're still very attached to materialistic work and the material and the benefits you can get from working in the material world, and as long as you don't have much interest in the glorification of Krishna, then okay, you have to go on with your material activities, and therefore you're not going to have a serious interest. A serious interest in Krishna Katha will only develop in one who's less attached to material things. And who has faith. Faith in the sense of you take it seriously. That this Krishna Katha is of value. It will do me good. You may not believe that this particular medicine is of any use, and therefore you just throw the bottle away, or you just don't bother to ever take it. But if you have trust in it, confidence, you'll take advantage of it. So the Krishna Katha, as Kapiladev, 11 verses before said, that this Krishna Katha is Shrutam Bhavaushadi, not Bhavaushadi, yeah. That's a different verse. Satam Prasambam Mamavirya Samvido Bhavanti Vikarna Rasayana. It's an invigorating tonic for the ears and the heart. But you have to, some medicine you have to trust, some medical treatments you have to have faith in. Others will work even without faith. So Krishna Katha will work even without faith. Those five processes that are mentioned here, they were taught to Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Chaitanya originally, as we hear in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Then that same Rupa Goswami wrote about these five potent processes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the chapters on sadhana bhakti. So, and he says, Shraddha Dure, they're so potent, you don't have to believe in them. If you do them. But who's going to listen to Krishna Katha if he's not interested. We're not paying you to come to Bhagavatam class. We're not forcing you, you know, because you'll be penalized if you don't. It's voluntary. Those who don't want, don't come in here. So there does have to be, you may not be fully convinced, but you have to be convinced enough to bother to come and sit down and listen. And to listen, not to be thinking about everything else. That requires interest and, in effect, faith. Conviction that this is worth paying attention to, that it will do me the most good. More good than reading the newspaper or watching the early morning news on the television. Mahaprasade Govinde, a very unfortunate person, doesn't have vishwasa, confidence in the value of Mahaprasada, Krishna himself, Nama Brahmani, or the name Krishna, Govinda, Nama Brahmani, that's his holy name, which is non-different from him. And the Vaishnavas, you don't appreciate the association of Vaishnavas, then you're unfortunate. But even these unfortunate persons, who have only very dim and very vague and immature faith, if they're attracted to come see the deity of Krishna or his expansion in the temple, to come take darshana of the deity, then they can be raised above that ignorant platform. So it is a great facility for neophytes, for those who don't have faith in hearing, don't have faith in the association of Vaishnavas, but they like to go to the Tirthas, they like to take a snan, you know, and see the deities. Favorite Hindu pastime. Mm-hmm. And that means favorite pastime in India, because most of the people are Hindus. Yeah, and then the Muslims and the Sikhs, they got their own Tirthas and their own things to look at. In India, everyone likes to do that. Go take darshan of something or somebody. It's fun. It's like a picnic. But most of the people who are doing it are in ignorance. They're swarming to the holy places, but they're still in ignorance. But that, doing that, will gradually raise them from ignorance. Especially if they come and bow down to Krishna. They're submitting to Krishna by bowing down to him. The materialist who will not come to the temple, he has to bow down too. Prabhupada said that they're forced to bow down by death. Death comes, then they lay their head on the ground. But those who voluntarily do it beforehand, offer their head to Krishna before the moment of death, by doing it in the temple, they're beginning their fortunate life is beginning. But it's not only for these neophytes, for ignorant people. The Madhyamadikaris should practice deity worship so that their sadhana will be firm and they will remain pure enough to do their sadhana properly. Even those who are engaged primarily in the Bhagavad Vidhi, in Harinam Sankirtana, they should also participate in some form of deity worship, if not doing worship, then seeing, taking darshan of the worship every day, especially the grihasthas. We have so many material things I have to associate with. They should have some involvement with seeing the deity or worshipping the deity every single day. That is a prescription given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And he's getting it from Srila Rupa Goswami, who got it from Lord Chaitanya. But even the more advanced devotees, even the Paramahansas, are also interested in worshipping the deity. And yesterday you mentioned because they want to set an example for others, but also for themselves. There are others, there are sadhus or paramahansas who are worshipping the deity in private. They're not making a public show of it. Still they're doing it because that's their pleasure. They are not yogis who only see God inside, they see God outside too. They may see Krishna everywhere outside, and they may like to associate with him in his deity form. The great devotees have intimate relationships with their own Ishtadevas. And those Ishtadevas may appear in the Archamurti, in the deity form. So it's not only for neophytes. We have so much history of great devotees who had active, intimate relationships with their own deities. And those same deities are the deities now, the great deities that are worshipped publicly. Sanatana Goswami was worshipping his Madan Mohan, hanging him from a tree, but, you know, he was perched in a tree. And he was feeding him these bhatis with no salt because he was poor. He didn't have any resources. You know, later on, what was that? Mr. Kapoor, his boat, you know, went aground right next to Dasha Aditya Tila. And Sanatana Goswami helps get out of what happened. What did
he do? He told the deity that I can't afford any salt. You have to make your own arrangement.
Right.
And so the deity made his own arrangement.
And then how did Sanatana Goswami save the boat?
The boat ran aground, and I think he said, "You pray to Krishna."
Oh.
Here is Krishna standing here. Why don't you pray to him? He's in charge of everything. And Krishna let the boat go, and then the man was so thankful that he gave him all the salt.
Lots of salt. But I think he sold the salt and they built a temple. Anyway, he also gave that man or somebody else.
Sure, some salt.
Yeah. I think what I read in the book, he gave him the proceeds from the cargo.
And he went to Agra and sold it.
That is happening in Australia now, Madan Mohan Temple now.
Yes.
And then revived.
Yes.
Archaeological Department now.
So, by Madan Mohan's own arrangement, Sanatana Goswami was able to engage some rich men in building the Madan Mohan temple, even having been decimated by Aurangzeb. It's still a landmark of Vrindavan, and it attracts so many people. Over the years, it attracted so many people to come see the beautiful form of Madan Mohan. Now you have to go to Karoli to see him. So, first of all, the great devotees have their loving relationships with their own worshipable deities. Who they may worship in their hearts, they may worship them in the form of sound. Krishna, you don't have to only get this association, this darshan, by worshipping the deity form. By chanting Srimad Bhagavatam, you can also visualize Krishna. Krishna is manifested by that sound. His dham, his devotees, his leelas are manifested by the sound of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna manifests himself, the basic tattva about himself. But the details of his leelas are manifested by Srila Shukadeva and the Bhagavatam. So, many devotees see Krishna in the shlokas of the Bhagavatam. So there's different ways that pure devotees visualize Krishna, but the worshipable deity, the Archa Vigraha, is one of them. So, and even this verse doesn't say necessarily that they're talking to statues. They may be visualizing Krishna in their minds, or that visualization may have been stimulated by hearing the Bhagavatam. And in whatever form they see Krishna, they're very attracted to his all attractive limbs, all the different parts of his body. Krishna, although meditation on Krishna is one-pointed, but there's lots of aspects to that point. It's not an infinitesimal point, it's a point, an expanded point, and he's got lots of parts, limbs. A point, an atom, doesn't have parts, according to Nyaya philosophy. But the body of God, although it's one, has nice parts, and the devotees meditate on those parts, on the limbs of Krishna's body. They may systematically, or they may just randomly meditate on those limbs. Normally, the respectful thing to do is to start from the feet and move up. That's what we normally should do, meditate first on the feet of the deity. But if you have a special relationship with Krishna, you may follow some other order. Namo Pankajanavaya, Namo Pankajamalini. Namaste Pankajanitraya. Pankajanitraya Namaste Pankajanitraya. So Kunti Devi, because she's Krishna's aunt, she's his elder relative, she doesn't have a particularly respectful relationship with Krishna. She doesn't mind chastising Krishna. Why are you causing my sons so much trouble? Why don't you help us? She can complain to Krishna. She's not overly respectful. So she looks first at Krishna's navel, then the garland on his chest, then his eyes, and then his feet. She follows a different order. But Prabhupada explains in the purport, it all comes around the same. Once you've done the whole cycle, it's the same anyway. But those who should be seeing Krishna respectfully, they should start from the feet. And we should follow that pattern. All the limbs, the Udara Vilasa, the wonderful, magnanimous, exalted pastimes of Krishna, his smiling glances. With his smiling glances, he's attracting his devotees. For the young girls of Vajra, he's stimulating their lusty attraction to him with his smiling glances. And there's different kinds of devotees. He's attracting them in their individual moods with his smiling glances. It's personal. He's not just standing there with his hand like this and just offering benedictions impersonally, but he's actually looking at his devotees and smiling at them. Vamasutta. Now that he's talking to them with gentle, attractive words, or in some cases, crooked words. Talking to his various devotees, the ones who will listen to him, he'll talk. So the devotees, the advanced devotees, whatever way they're visualizing Krishna, this is how they're seeing him. Very attractive, the most attractive person, the cynosure of all eyes. Okay, are there any questions?
Dwadasha Sotrams, there's a very nice description by Madhvacharya meditating on Lord Vishnu, that he begins very carefully. There's maybe 12 verses, and he begins with the feet, and he describes the calves, and he describes the thighs, and then the waist.
Yes.
And it's very, very beautiful.
Madhvacharya?
Yes, in Dwadasha Sotrams.
Did you tell me something?
Yeah. I could bring it up, but... Also, I was thinking in the chapter that we chanted this morning, the Narad Muni was saying that, or maybe it was yesterday,
you mean chapter 5?
Chapter 5 was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Itrimurti abhidhanena mantramurtim amurtikam yajate yajna purusham sasamyam darshanapumar. With regard to seeing Krishna and sound.
Yes, mantramurtim. The sound itself is his form, but it's not different from his other kind of forms. So when you actually hear the sound with full attention and faith, you see Krishna.
The nature of many of these shlokas in the Bhagavatam are, in other places also, is that they instantly produce the darshan in your mind when you see Krishnaya, when you hear it, Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devikinandanaya Chananda Gopakumaraya Govindaya. Or the songs for all of us, Jayatamana, there's like a picture of Vrindavan.
Yes. We just have to basically give attention, pay attention to it. Narada is going to say, or did say, today's chapter, Pragaya Takva Viryani, Tirtha Bhada Priyashvava. As soon as I start chanting the names of my beloved Lord, he appears on my tongue, as if summoned. Or not tongue, but he appears before me. Darshanamyati, in my mind he appears, he manifests himself. As if I've summoned him, like my, you know, my paid servant, you know, I ring the bell and he's got to come. So as soon as Krishna comes like that, as soon as I chant his name, he comes before me. In my mind. There are other devotees who are even better than that. Krishna will appear in front of them, not just in their minds. That's even better. Okay, anything else? Right, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.